The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The Gospel of the Lord. An old man was out walking one day, and he met his family doctor. And he said to the doctor, he said, I think, he said, doctor, my wife is becoming very deaf and hard of hearing. And I don't know how bad it is. And the doctor said to him, well, I'll give you a little thing you can do to see how bad it is. So he said, when you go home, stand at a distance and ask her a question and see if she answers you. So he went home, and as soon as he entered the house, he said, honey, what's for dinner? And there was no answer. And again, going a little nearer to her, he said, honey, what's for dinner? And again, there was no answer. And he did this several times. And eventually, he was standing right beside her. And he said to her again, honey, what's for dinner? And she said, I've already told you 9 times it's meatloaf. So, who had the problem? Who was deaf? Now, we normally, it's almost always, we focus in on the gospel of the Mass, but this morning I want to maybe look at the first reading. And the first reading is a very, very important reading. It's from Isaiah, the prophet. And so he says, thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, Fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. Now, at that stage, you're all supposed to feel very threatened. And that's where most of us stop. And that's where most of us have been all our life. And so I want to very briefly this morning talk about restorative justice and retributive justice. And in the Western world, and in the church, and in society, and in the legal system, and in the justice system, we're very much into retributive justice. By retributive justice, I mean, if somebody does something bad, if you punish them, you'll change them. It doesn't work. It does not work. You can lock people up in prison. Does it change them? Yes, it makes them worse. Because they come out of prison more angry and more embittered. So, and that's part of our legal system, and it's part of the justice system, and it's quid pro quo. And that's the way we are. If you're good, you do this and that, you get to heaven. If you're not so good and you do bad things, you might get to hell. So, how does that fit in with your concept of God? And some of you here are old enough to remember a time in the church where we had arguments and conversations about how to get people out of purgatory, how to cut down on their time. And so if you prayed for their souls in purgatory and you did the five first Fridays and so on, you could take 3-4 years off their time in purgatory. There is no time after this life. There is no time in eternal life. So what were we trying to do? And we were all, most of us, educated, especially the older ones here, to fear God. And God was somebody, and it's a concept I can never get into my mind. I did as a child, but thank God no longer, that God would send people to hell. How could you love a God like that? How could you love a God like that? Now listen to the second part of the reading from Isaiah. Immediately after Isaiah says that, the next line, the very next line, he comes to save you. He comes to save you. Then the tongues of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. And see how that fits in with the gospel this morning. Jesus was into healing, into transforming people. In fact, he was into universal healing, universal health care. And Jesus came to, as an image of God, to show us what God was really like. So I think and feel we've all got to look seriously at our image of God, at our concept of God. How do we see God in relation to your life, in relation to my life? And I read somewhere very recently that for many, many, many people, and I was like this in my own life, it's easier to try and love somebody rather than accept love. Does that make sense? Most of us have difficulty in that, strange to say. You know, we'd rather try and love somebody rather than accept love. And it's, for most people, it's a very hard concept to accept that God absolutely loves you. Because most of us don't. Now you might think, how can you come to that conclusion? Well, from my experience of confession, from the experience of my own life, I find it very hard when I look at myself. I put myself down. I'm aware of my faults. I'm aware of my failings. And so the question immediately arises, well, I better do better or God won't love me. And the extraordinary thing, and very difficult to accept in our hearts, is the fact that I've said to you before, there is not one single thing you can do at this moment to make God love you one bit more. Because God loves you absolutely. Nor is there one thing you can do to make God love you one bit less. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is that? And that's why a great mystic called Meister Eckhart, he lived from 1360 to 1428, Middle Ages. His most important saying was, if the only prayer you ever said, thank you, Lord, that would be more than sufficient. Thank you, Lord. This beautiful spirit of gratitude. You're never going to transform anybody by punishing them or torturing them. There's only one thing that can transform people, and that is love. And that was the core of the message of Jesus. Can you quote me one instance in the Gospels when Jesus condemned somebody or refused forgiveness? Whoever came to them, he loved them, absolutely loved them. Nothing more and nothing less. Love is the only thing that transforms people.